Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
I don't know that you want to start the story right this second.
Oh, no, that's a good point. We're not going to do that. Saved by the Bell and one Kimberly Adams as well. My goodness. Drew, get us going.
I try to help out.
That could have been super awkward.
It really could have. Hello, I'm Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense, and I stop Kai from saying things he shouldn't on a live YouTube broadcast.
Never say something in front of a microphone that you wouldn't want to see on the front pages of whatever. Oh, my goodness. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Thank you to everybody for joining us on this Friday for Economics on Tap. We're doing the YouTube live stream, listening to the podcast. However you do this, we are glad you are here. Thank you for doing that. That's fun.
Yes. And I'm already appreciating people's drinks. Margie Klitsch has tonic water on ice with limoncello, which she says is very good. That sounds... I'm not a huge fan of tonic, but I do love some limoncello. And let's see. What are you drinking?
Oh, I'm having a beer this week, thank God. Stone FML, which is kind of how I'm feeling, by the way. because I needed a beer. That's why. What about you?
I am having a big glass of box wine, and I'm very happy with it.
Excellent.
Because it's been that kind of week.
Well, also, when I was growing up, the neighborhood moms would have box wine, and everybody's like, oh, it's so terrible. It's so embarrassing. I don't think that's true anymore, right?
It's much better now. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm not all embarrassed of it. I'm looking at the other drinks. Oh, somebody else is having, Cheryl is having lemon vodka with tonic and limoncello. We've got a brown ale that John's drinking, Lift Bridge Brewery. And Anne has a Mexican martini with jalapeno stuffed olives.
Elijah Craig's small batch bourbon from Chuck. That's awesome.
Nice. Over on the Discord, we've got, what is this? Woodchuck Hard Cider Mimosa?
Don't know.
Okay.
Sounds good.
A Nitro Irish Stout from Breckenridge Brewing that Kevin is drinking. Everybody's got some good stuff tonight. I appreciate it. Welcome.
Myers Rum and Diet Coke. There we go.
Yes. Okay.
Shall we?
Let's get the small things out of the way first before we talk about the big things. I mean, none of these things are small, but there's really one story we want to talk about, which is the hearings last night. The other thing that I noticed was yet more coming out about Virginia Thomas, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's wife. Yeah, I mean, it feels like every week that we find out something else she did leading up to the insurrection. Washington Post is reporting that she pressed 29 Republican state lawmakers in Arizona, 27 more than we previously thought, to set aside Joe Biden's popular vote victory and choose presidential electors, according to emails obtained by the Washington Post. Now, some of these were like form emails that, you can go to a website and it says, email your legislature. But still, anyway. I'm just going to touch on that. It's worth noting. And as more and more things escalate in light of these hearings, if something does end up before the court, it's worth noting that the wife of one of the Supreme Court justices was actively involved in trying to overturn the election. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, what else? You got one more. Right? You can talk about that one because
The other one's related to the hearing. Okay, fine. Sure.
You totally should.
You know, it's a big deal. So the Washington football team, which now has a name that's not racist, the Washington Commanders, had one of their coaches made comments basically comparing basically calling the January 6th attacks on the Capitol, what was it, a dust up. something very diminishing and comparing it to the Black Lives Matter protests, which is just not at all okay in any way, shape, or form, and they are not the same. So the Washington Commanders, the head coach, has decided to fine him $100,000 for saying this because, and I'm just going to read from the statement. Coach Del Rio did apologize for his comments on Wednesday, and he understands the distinctions between the events of that dark day and peaceful protests, which are the hallmark of our democracy. He does have the right to voice his opinion as a citizen of the United States, and it most certainly is his constitutional right to do so. However, and this is the important part, words have consequences, and his words hurt a lot of people in our community. I want to make it clear that our organization will not tolerate any equivalency between those who demanded justice in the wake of George Floyd's murder and the actions of those on January 6th who sought to topple our government. And I think it is a very big deal that at this high of a level in the NFL, the same NFL that booted Colin Kaepernick for kneeling in defense of Black lives is saying there are consequences to people who talk this way. Now, there's some hypocrisy there as well, but that's another story. But I thought this was a very big deal.
I do. I think it's an extremely significant story, and I'm glad you picked it. Okay, I got two quickies before we go to the topic du jour. One is, and I would just preface this by saying, when I was in Spain over spring break, I caught a cold, tested negative, but the name of the game is that you used to have to test before you come back if you're flying back into the United States. The Biden administration is going to lift that effective Sunday. It's a very big deal for those who travel to this country via airplane, so yay. Because it's expensive, it's stress-inducing, it's not necessarily effective, all this stuff. So I just want to bookmark that one. Here's the other thing that caught my eye, because we talked about it the other day, and you talked about it on tech. Facebook, Meta, rather, is apparently looking at the behavior of Sheryl Sandberg, her use of corporate resources going back several years, reports the Wall Street Journal. That's a big deal when you think of these... I think this is fair. The sainted reputation that she had for most of her early tenure at that company, which has gone downhill as Facebook's misdeeds became more prevalent and more known. And now there's apparently some personal conduct questions, and she should have left 10 years ago and she'd be in much better shape reputation-wise, you know?
Yeah, I read somewhere that they were looking into whether or not she was using Facebook resources to plan her wedding.
Her wedding, yeah, that was the original thing. And now it's apparently broader than that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so. I mean, the sainted history thing, I actually think it started going a little bit downhill before even the scandals, because that whole lean-in mentality definitely got her a lot of blowback for it being, you know, a very privileged perspective and a kind of damaging way for women to... saying that women needed to basically show up like men in the workplace, and that option was not available to everyone. And it didn't quite take into account people who maybe didn't have access to childcare or who were in marginalized groups and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot there. But I guess if she'd left 10 years ago, we'd be having a very different conversation.
It's a very different conversation. Very different.
Yeah.
Okay. So to the hearing, which we have remarked upon all week on this podcast, what are your thoughts?
I was floored. And look, you know, I've been following this as it comes out in bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. And maybe we got some new information, but most of it was what we already knew. But the presentation and seeing it all at once and hearing it from the mouths of the people who were there and involved in that way was so extraordinarily powerful. I took your advice. I told my sister, who's in the chat, to have her kids watch the opening statements, and she did. I had my mother was watching it. My best friend back in St. Louis was watching it. And I had several of my other friends have their kids watching it. And everyone was just like, whoa.
Yeah.
What about you?
So a couple of things. Number one, the two children I still have living at home came down voluntarily to watch, which was heartening to me just as a parent. I was really thrilled about that. Number two, I think it was extremely well presented. I'm glad they broke format, if you will, of the typical congressional hearing in which the ranking member and the chair each get X number of minutes and then every freaking member gets 5 minutes. That would have been just terrible. Instead, they gave Benny Thompson, the chairman, like 15, 20 minutes. And then Liz Cheney, in what you have to say this whole time, right, it has been an amazing act of political courage because she's going to lose her job and she will be shunned, has been shunned by the Republican establishment. She gave a great presentation. She gave a coherent, well laid out, tell them what we're going to tell them, tell them what we told them, and then tell them what we told them, right? She did that whole thing, and it was amazing. I thought it was really, really good. I do wish that the remaining number of hearings, and I think there's only going to be like six more, were also in prime time because I think everybody ought to be seeing this. Instead, it's going to be, you know, midday-ish, depending on where you are, and that's kind of unfortunate. We have to acknowledge that, I don't know, actually, I'd be curious as to your take on this one. My sense is that exactly zero minds are going to be changed about how they feel about this because everybody's in their silos, and most of the people who watched are convinced that it was an insurrection, an attack on democracy, and those who didn't watch were watching Fox News, where Tucker Carlson was, it is very hot in my house, where Tucker Carlson was counter-programming. I don't know. Do you think people's minds are going to be changed?
I don't necessarily think that's the goal. I think the goal is to put the record down for history. And I also think the goal is to get people who were either the very few people who were on the fence to believe that it was an insurrection and the people who maybe had a passing awareness that it was a bad thing to recognize just how grave of a threat the democracy was under or the republic. I texted you this, but I was very struck last night that the Democrats kept talking about the threat to the democracy and the Republicans were talking about the threat to the republic. And I just noticed that. But I think that a big part of this is sure to have a resource available for anyone who wants to listen and who might change their mind. But also for those who were maybe just sort of casually like, oh, it's bad, but it's over, to recognize that this is an extreme threat, it's an ongoing threat, and the lack of accountability is an even bigger threat. And they began the process of laying out what could very well be criminal charges against the president. So in many ways, they are building a case so that if this does end up with criminal charges against the former president of the United States, they have this long on-ramp to get the country ready for something that will be earth-shattering.
I think that's exactly right. And Liz Cheney's repeated use of the word corruptly, right? The president
and
corruptly
seditious conspiracy,
blah, blah, blah. Right. All of that stuff. That's all legalese, and that all matters. Two quick things from the comments. Number one, Dr. Nicole Adams. Gosh, I wonder who that is. My 10-year-old said, "Where was the president again? You know, when all the bad people were hurting America." So that's
apparently
one thing.
in the White House encouraging them.
In the White House encouraging them. Here's another one from Margie Klitsch. I didn't watch. I listened on NPR. Yay, thank you for tuning in to public radio. But those videos, man, you got to see them. I know we've all seen them, and I know it can be really hard. I can't even imagine what it's like for
but
the people
there were
who
new
up there,
ones.
Whether they're members or staff. Yeah, there were. There were. There were new videos, for sure. You bet.
I mean, what I think got my mom and my sister, when we were talking about it afterwards, was seeing the Capitol Police officer lying there unconscious on the steps and then hearing her talking about slipping in the blood of her colleagues as she's trying to get up. And this was something I really noticed in her testimony in particular and sort of comparing it to a war zone and talking about just the hours of hand-to-hand combat. I think that a lot of the video we've seen, it looks bad. And you definitely, there's that horrible video of the Capitol Police officer being crushed. But it hasn't really, you really haven't seen blood. You haven't seen, like, injuries. You see sort of it from a distance. And that zoomed in really tight.
Really tight. Absolutely true.
Linsbu PDX asked is there a place to rewatch it. You can go to C-SPAN and watch the entire C-SPAN. Thing. There's it's all over the place as well.
Yep. Anything else to touch on this?
Well, I would just encourage people to send us your thoughts if you watched the hearing. If you didn't watch the hearings, why'd you decide not to? I did end up watching it on Fox Business.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I did. And then I watched Fox afterwards to see. So Fox Business, straight ahead. Chyrons were just like, so-and-so is speaking. They are presenting this. Nothing much. But then I turned to Fox afterwards, and it was just diminished. So anyway, but I would love to hear everybody's thoughts if you watched the hearing or if you didn't, what you thought. Are you going to watch the next ones? And if you have any questions that you think we might be able to answer about it or that you want us to look into, we are probably going to end up doing more on this moving forward. So, yeah.
I think we will. In the meanwhile, Drew Johnstad, you're on. There we go. So the game is half full, half empty. Drew Johnstad is in charge. All y'all know the drill, I think.
I do.
Hello, Kimberly. Hello, Kai. Are you half full or half empty on requiring financial literacy classes to graduate high school?
All the way full.
All the way full. So this is Michigan.
Easiest
this week
one
would
ever.
will become the 14th state to require literacy, financial literacy before graduating high school. The flip side of that, of course, is that 36 states don't, which is not great, but all the way full, for sure. For sure.
Half full or half empty on the new Novavax COVID vaccine?
I mean, I'm going to go with full. More vaccines, the better. I understand that this is more of a traditional vaccine. So, you know, fingers crossed that, you know, some of the people who maybe were resistant to the mRNA vaccines, maybe this will make them get vaccinated and help others. But doubtful at this point, I guess. But I'll take it. All the vaccines.
Yeah, I'm half full, for sure. Absolutely. All the vaccines.
We will be done with these in no time. Are you half full or half empty on converting classic cars into EVs?
Oh, Andy Euler had that great story. Yeah, Andy Euler had this.
Bridget.
Did we do it before?
Bridget, I swear we did this one already. But maybe not. Anyway,
time is a circle. I'm full. Half full, actually, because it's still really expensive and inaccessible for most people. But this idea of, you know, converting regular cars into EVs is great. And especially, you know, it's better for the environment. And if the cost of doing it goes down, you know, that could really speed up our shift to a more renewable energy future, I guess.
Totally agree. I just want the price of EVs to come down like a lot, right? Mm-hmm. That's the thing that's going to make them all accessible. Oh, also that and charging stations, but that's a whole different podcast.
All right.
Drew.
A new law in the European Union will require all phones and electronics to use the same charger. Are you half full or half empty?
I am half full. Yeah, because I'm curious as to how it's going to roll out and what the punishment is going to be. Because I feel like sometimes tech companies, when they get slapped with this restriction, they find a way to make it, like, painful. So in Korea, for example, in South Korea, they passed some sort of law saying that you had to give better access to, like, the Apple store or something like that, or you had to allow people to sell their apps on other platforms. And Apple did something, I'll have to go look it up, that basically made it so it was useless. You know, they changed the pricing mechanism.
Apple is a
and
jerk.
So And so, like, if sure, they're going to do it, but at what cost? You know, are they going to only do it for like one type of phone and then that's the only phone they sell in Europe? And then the Europeans are going to have to like order everything else from abroad. And then also, like, what if I want that phone? I would love to have a phone that's compatible with all my different cords. Can I buy the European phone and have it shipped to me in the US? Is that going to be allowed? And in that case, what's going to happen to the market for the non-USB-C Apple phones here in the U.S. Anyway, so I'm half full until I see the deployment.
Wow. The Marketplace Tech Host has given this a lot of thought. I will just I will quote from Julio Flores in the chat, ooh, half empty because I feel Apple is going to find a loophole and I'll be unhappy about it, which is very much what you said.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, yep, totally.
All right, Drew, what next?
Checking in on the Taco Bell beat, the Taco Bell newest location has no dining room and has four drive-through lanes instead. Are you half full or half empty?
Half. I'm just gonna go with half. I don't have. We need Amy Scott for this one. She'll have strong feelings.
I know, right?
She's the resident Taco Bell expert.
That's true.
The picture makes it look kind of like a bank where you have like all these lanes, and then like your food comes down in one of those
and
tubes.
Your food comes in a pneumatic tube. What could possibly
kind of looks like that? Yeah.
You know what? I'm not. You know what? I'm gonna go half full. If it means that there are, you know. Everyone talks about how all these jobs are being lost to robots, especially as people are demanding higher wages. If the cost of paying low-wage workers better wages is that we get more robot-delivered tacos, I'll take it.
All right. I'll go with whatever
Kimberly
said. I think that's fair.
Somebody said we need a burrito launcher. We got all of our words out on the January 6th hearings. Yes.
I think that's totally true. That is totally true. Yes. Well, look, that's it for us on a Friday. Back next week for all new episodes of Make Me Smart. If you're watching the January 6th hearings, again, as Kimberly said, let us know what you think. Let us know what your questions are, your thoughts. We may actually just turn that into a special thing. I don't even know why or how.
I think we need to do more about
it's a big
that.
Deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So please do share those with us. You can send us an email to makemesmart@marketplace.org or leave us a voice message. We are at 508-827-6278. That's 508-UB-SMART. I think I hear a dog. Is there a dog?
You do, but she's out running around on the grass. Slowly.
Aww.
I can't even see her. Anyway. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera with help today from Marque Green. Cannot possibly be. Is Marque back? Do we think so? I don't know. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
Yes, indeed. And the team behind our Friday game is Stephen Bion, Mel Rosenberg, and Emily McCune, with theme music written by the amazing Drew Jostad. And our director of On Demand is Donna Tam. Let's see.
She's out there sniffing around for a place to poop.
Yeah, I couldn't get Jasper up here. I tried to lure him with treats and everything. What do? Cats, they're fickle.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.